Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, buddy. Space is great. I miss you guys. We're a long way away now. I can't even see. I can't even see Earth anymore. And it's peaceful, you know. Don't tell your mom this, but I think I actually sleep better up here, away from her snoring. You're worried about my smell?
Yep. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 581. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Why you gotta be so grumpy? Grumpy, Andre. Jordan, Rand. Shit! Let me do that one again. I'm doing it again. Gosh dang it. All right. Brian, why you gotta be so grumpy, Andre Dunaway?
Because you keep calling me Randy. Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we kiss our families goodbye and hop in our international deep space spaceship with six conveniently framed in-scene seats. One little, two little, three little screaming astronauts. Four little, five little, six little. Ah, where'd everybody go? And now we head to the moons of Jupiter in the name of FOMO. Hey, what are they doing over there? And yeah, we heard you guys had water. And can we go ice fishing here? Oh, God, what have we done? Totally not worth it. We should have stayed home and streamed something instead. Tell our families we're sorry. And that we changed the Hulu password. Anywho, dearest family, deep space sucks. It's cold and unforgiving, and all that we have found is some irradiated tentacle porn. Say, that reminds me. Don't tell your mom this, but could you clear my browser history? Thanks. Oh, no. I ripped my glove in space. Stay calm. It's a small rip. Stay calm. Losing oxygen. Stay calm. Now I'm bleeding. Bleeding in space. Internal screaming intensifies. Space is great. Randy, there is a cabinet in the cockpit I've been working with. Short the wires. That should clear my browser history. Thanks.
That one had energy. I like that a lot.
Had a lot of energy. This, because this movie needed it because it had no energy.
It had very little energy. All right.
Always do a couple of jumping jacks when you.
Oh yeah,
start
always,
rolling.
Always. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Also with us, Randy. Why they gotta take Shark Cloak Cropley so soon, Jordan?
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
I am so proud to announce to the world that you've been selected to go on this multi-year long mission in space. I was just as surprised as you were that we're sending both men and women together in what's essentially a hostel. We've tried to make sure that most of the men and the women are conventionally attractive with a couple of funny looking dudes thrown in the mix. I've been assured that those two are the most virile and competent with knot tying. I'm sure it'll be all right as long as you maintain open and honest communication with everyone else in the polycule, and as long as you don't try to scam the people back on Earth with NFTs. Otherwise, I only need to give you my three rules for surviving a sex dungeon space mission, and you can get on your way to enjoying each other's bodies at an unbelievably high cost to taxpayers. Number one, If you don't want to die, do not go outside the ship by yourself. Going outside alone is like packing a $100 bill right on the top of your checked luggage at the airport. Kiss that goodbye. Number two, if you don't want to die, do not go outside the ship with another person.
No.
Oh, you think they're going to save you? No. That other person is going to double your chances of screwing something up. Do the math. Number three, if you don't want to die, don't let your other crewmates go outside the ship. Mm-hmm. See, if enough of you freaky space sex partners die because they went outside, then you're going to die because this sexual arrangement requires a minimum number of participants to participate. That's it. Now, go have fun and don't forget your safe word.
I'm worried about us because I watched the movie and there was like zero sex in this, but I definitely was getting a sex vibe and Randy just confirmed.
Well, there was a big chunk of time where you just flipped around between cameras.
The videos off for that.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, all that flicking off of cameras. There is a reason in the end. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's round it up and say, finally, we have with us Brian. He loves Dark Side of the Moon, but not like this. Not like this, Ibbot.
Not like this. I played it while I watched this, and it's amazing how things synced up.
Whoa.
For 13 years, you've been hearing us talk about hundreds of films, good and bad, old and new. But we've found newly released audio of the lost episode of FilmSack. What you're about to hear are 4 minutes previously thought to be lost forever, where we were about to record an episode about the 1994 film Three Ninjas Kick Back. All right, Scott, Brian, Randy, hey, are we ready to record this? Boy, how about that last episode, right? 2.5 hours long. I can't believe we missed our target by a whole 25 minutes. We're going to have to keep this episode on track just to make up for... Oh no, Randy, what did you just spill on your keyboard? It looks like a combination of margarine and tangerine, and it's somehow affecting your connection to our recording. You can't bring that into the episode without contaminating the three of us. Oh, we're going to have to jettison you from the episode. Oh my gosh, he's slowly drifting away from the episode, but thanks to our comms, we can still hear him. He's still talking. Wow, I can barely see him. He's drifted so far away from us, but yeah, we can still hear him talking. Still talking.
Still
talking. Oh, what happened? Did somebody must have turned off his comms. Oh, well. What's that, Scott? You need to leave the recording to go collect some clip samples? Yeah. Okay, Brian Dunaway and I will monitor your clips from the capsule here. You're on your way out. Oh, you're getting pretty far out. Maybe you'd better head back. What's that? This reminds you of the wastelands of Fury Road. Oh no! God. That was one Mad Max reference too many. The ice can't support the weight of that many Mad Max references. Oh, and now you're mining the very depths of cold, cold water. Guess it's just you and me, Dunaway. Dunaway? Oh no, he's asleep. That's okay. I'll talk about Three Ninjas Kickback all by myself. Oh no! Looks like Netflix pulled the movie at the end of last month. There's no way to watch it. I guess I'll just have to end the recording. Wait, what's that? Is there some sort of blue light coming from the corner of my eye? No, it looks like 4 weirdly bioluminescent Blu-ray copies of Three Ninjas Kick Back sent to us by a listener. I'm going to have to flood the cabin. I hope my uploading these final moments to Libsyn will provide the knowledge for future generations to learn from my sacrifice.
Wow. Kind of got a retelling of the entire film there. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. Well, it was pretty good.
Yeah,
I also was retelling the film. It's retelling what you didn't see.
Yeah. We got information about Europa Report we didn't know we needed. Oh, is that the name of the movie? Yes, it is. Europa Report from 2013? 13.
That is correct. 2013.
I remember very vaguely hearing about this and going, ooh, that looks like my jam. And I didn't see it. Just never got around to it. Don't know why. Didn't see it in theaters. Didn't see it streaming. Didn't whatever. But I'm going to be the first guy to say it. This is my kind of movie. I like this shit a lot. I like space horror. I like the idea of where are we going? We don't know. We think we're confident. We got all the science.
Hold it. I just want to stop and let people know, if you haven't watched this yet, it is not really space horror. Do not be turned away by the phrase space horror.
Say space suspense, right? Because you know, space horror implies there's a monster on the ship, or there's something that's slowly killing the crew members.
Other than it's really just the circumstances they're
right,
in.
Exactly.
Well, sort of. Early on, yes. But there is, it turns out, I mean, everyone, hopefully you've seen this before we're talking, and it's 2013, so I guess spoilers are out the window. But there is a creature, and he is slowly killing people off.
Yeah.
We don't see it, but it's a little more like, you know what this is like? This is Paranormal Activity in space, is what it is.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was, yeah, it's definitely like, it is isolationist horror, right? It's like any time humans venture out to where no other humans or help is, and then things go south, is that kind of horror.
And from a structural standpoint, the way they try to do it is like, here's this lady who's in charge of the program, the space program that's gone awry, and she's in some sort of, it's like she's talking to Congress or something. They actually never show us. So my chick in the bucket, by the way,
it's a TED talk.
Yeah, she's doing a documentary.
My chick in the bucket,
grab a bucket,
is the fact that she's talking to somebody in a room full of lights, and they never show us who she's talking to. So that's the chick in the bucket, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, she's telling this story, and then it's told to us through flashbacks that are
found footage,
right?
Yeah,
and the found footage apparently is very resilient. That ship can crash and lose all power and everything, but boy, those cameras are going to just keep freaking rolling.
I'm assuming this is supposed to be in the future, so we figure it out.
Future cameras.
GoPro technology has just excelled in the last.
Oh, it literally went pro. It went full pro. Sci-fi. Yeah,
yeah, near future sci-fi.
But I kind of like that aesthetic, and I like the kind of grittiness of those cameras. It made things feel small and claustrophobic, and
yes,
you know, that sort of stuff. And I really like the cast in particular, even though I felt like he wasn't there very long. But like I mentioned in the top of the show, that Charlton Copley, however you say his name, District 9 guy, he was there long enough.
He may as well have not been in the movie.
I thought he was really impactful. I disagree. I thought he was great.
I'm sorry when your accent is completely missing, and you're from a global team of experts chosen around the globe, and they make you change your accent. No, I mean, he wasn't in the movie.
I mean, he could have been
Charlton Copley. Could have been Brad Pitt. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. It didn't have to be him, but I don't know. I was kind of glad it was him. But then there's these guys like Christian Camargo. I never say it right.
Mm-hmm. Camargo.
He played Daniel, and he's familiar if you've seen the show SEE on Apple Plus.
Yeah.
Apple TV Plus.
Also, he plays Dexter.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. He was on Dexter. Mm-hmm. He's a really interesting to look at and listen to actor, so I really liked him. I liked the two women. I liked the
Daniel Wu is fantastic.
He's great.
Dan Fogel is the most recognizable person you'll probably see in this.
Dan Fogel. Oh, Fogler, the guy from back on NASA Earth.
Goldbergs.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, Fantastic! Oh,
Fantastic Beasts.
I don't know what he was doing in this, but Dan Fogler was having a good time. I liked it.
He gets to just step in and do part of the TED Talk about things that are going on back home.
This movie could have stood to develop these characters. Now that I think of it, I mean, it was fine. It was fine. It was a good movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But every one of these people you're naming, I'm like, oh yeah, Daniel Wu. Oh yeah, right, the captain who's got the trope of making the hard decision.
Sure.
I want to know more about that guy, and the movie just doesn't have the time.
It's only an hour and a half long.
How do you do that with it not feeling like you're doing that, right? Because they wouldn't be, me, the captain, let's see if we can adjust those knobs. That reminds me of when I was in the academy adjusting knobs.
You're making a good point. You're making a good point because this whole movie is about, hey, there's this trip and then there's this crash.
Yeah.
You can't really do flashbacks or you can't do traditional storytelling because you're doing found footage.
But the movie does do that. It does give you some development for Michael Nyquist's character by having the characters talk to each other in front of these running cameras. Like they after his experience, right? They're just, hey, how are you doing?
This is a Rogue One kind of crew, right? They're going to end up dead. So you just have basic, simple characters on a mission to do something, and they're not going to make it. You're not sure at first, but by the about middle way through, you're like, oh yeah, everybody's dying.
I realize that from an audience pleaser standpoint, that's already tricky. Plus, you've got a creature at the end of this thing that only makes a very brief glimpse of itself, and
they did really good with that too. I thought so too.
I guess what I'm saying is like that isn't necessarily crowd pleaser stuff. There's not a lot of resolution there, and I can understand why this maybe wasn't like a giant hit at theaters, but It's absolutely my kind of storytelling.
It's really cool. And very, very parallel in structure, but excels way past Blair Witch Project for me, but very similar. Where basically you've got the
Blair Witch.
Yeah, I know. Well, you've got the found footage, right? You're assembling, right. Basically getting the whole story of these people on this thing that you kind of lost. And then you see the quote-unquote villain at the very end in the last few frames of the footage.
Yeah.
Now that you bring it up, I'll give it to you, because the enduring shot of Blair Witch is of the main character's face as she's crying and she's freaking out.
Right. And yeah, there's a bit of that. Sure.
Multiple times in Europa Report, they have these cameras inside the helmet.
Yeah. They address the camera. Right, exactly.
Yeah. And be like, one of the things I like the most about it, I think, is the sound work of cameras going off and on and cutting out people's last words or things they just said, or over-modulating it here and there when it fit. I thought that stuff was really effective. I like that a lot.
Tight.
Yeah.
It was tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a tight good
movie. On the sci-fi gradient, I think we need to place it. So you on the sci-fi gradient, you have science and you have fiction, right? And so like the people who don't love the Danny Boyle movie Sunshine always say it's a little too far on the fi side of sci-fi, right?
They're wrong. Those people are wrong.
Need some more like something.
Yeah.
And so like this one, I feel it might go a little too far toward the science side of science fiction.
And they kind of keep it a little hand wavy. They kind of go like, oh, this is a radiation thing. Okay. And then there's a solar flare that happened. It's like, okay. So, yeah. I mean, they don't like try to get into specifics, but yeah, it feels more realistic.
Some of it too.
It is very sciencey.
Oh yeah. I agree. No, I think Randy's
deGrasse Tyson in the air, right?
Yeah, he was. I mean, I agree with Randy that it does lean on the science side, but I don't think it's to its detriment. I think it actually helps the movie, grounds the movie, makes it feel a little bit more realistic. I felt more concerned for these characters because they are all there wasn't some a-hole on the ship who's going to crash everything. And
that would have been Dan Fogler if he
didn't have an ash
on the ship.
Well, yeah. Michael, Michael Nyquist, who plays Andre, I thought Andre was going to lose it and kill people or something because of the way his character was kind of going. But that got subverted, and I think they wanted us to feel that way. And it's also like, hey, the Russians here, so the Russians are always trouble. but they subverted that and changed the way that all played out. So I don't know. I think this does fit within a couple of different movies categories. This Sunshine, I might even put like Event Horizon in this category, even though it's a little more horror.
Oh yeah, that's way more over on that. The fiction side.
Yeah, definitely more on the fiction side. Yeah. But this idea of the crew who go to do a thing, it's a noble effort, and then there's like a horrible reason why the noble effort can't be pushed through or seen through, and there's so much isolation. It's what I love about the video game series Dead Space, and there are other examples. But like those aspects of this really, really worked for me. I didn't know going into this that's what we're gonna get. I just knew there was this thing from some years ago, and I didn't know what else to make of it. Is this gonna be like Red Planet or one of those dumb, bad trips to Mars or something?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you guys were all able to do it, and I was a little worried because I was glad you're all able to like slow down for me. This movie requires you to slow down.
Yeah.
Take a breath. And if you're like fiddling with your phone and stuff, you're not going to get this movie's not going to be a ride for
this. This is absolutely you've got to put the iPad down and just watch it, because there's so many there are nuances in the way people interact with each other. It's
there's stuff going on in the background. They're discussing, they're doing character development in the background with characters saying things that are not in the center of the screen. It's more like heard off stage. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So it sounds like all you guys were able to like chill out a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I got in the mood, I guess, is what happened.
I had to keep reminding myself. Like, I had to stop and remind myself at least 5 times. This movie came before Arrival, before Interstellar, before The Martian. Like, I just, because like you're watching it in 2022, and it's like, wow, I'm kind of impressed right now that it doesn't take from those excellent sci-fi movies. 2010s was really something for sci-fi.
Yeah,
Like it actually comes first. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
And they focus more on the they focus more on the human experience in this as opposed to How crazy can you be? Let's be super crazy. It's just the human experience. This is what happens when people are on the outside and they have to get a job done and they have to make those decisions, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the dude who, Isaiah Whitlock Jr., he was only in a couple of the back scenes of archive footage of them getting ready for the mission. Right. An amazing black actor who's in tons of stuff, but I remember him specifically from The Wire. He's the guy that goes,
"Yes,
shit." He's that guy. And every time he came on camera, I went, "Shit." Anyway,
still need to see The Wire. It needs to be on my.
Oh, it's good. It's really, so I've only seen like the first two seasons.
You should watch that whole damn thing. I've seen that whole series really twice over. It's so good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm excited for you to watch that, even though it's old now. But. It's got your guy in it from, never mind. That's something else. I think it's something else. Never mind.
He's not my guy.
You know, your guy.
My guy. Why is he my guy?
This was directed by Sebastian Cordero, who has unfortunately not done a ton since. I think Uruguay is where he's from. Anyway, mostly Spanish language or
Ecuador.
Ecuadorian. I don't know what they speak in Ecuador. They speak Spanish?
Spanish, yeah.
Is it Spanish? Mostly films in Spanish all the way up till this. And then this was like his, English debut. And then since then, there's been like one other movie in 2016 and then nothing. But I would have seen this in 2013 and thought, dude, this guy, he's like awesome. This is really like a cool take. I like the tone of it. I like the feel of it. Sound, the music, everything just comes together nicely. And then nothing from this dude. So I don't know what happened. Hope he's okay.
I don't know. This seems like a hard film to film. It seems like it'd be a lot of work. It's like, I don't know.
It does.
I don't want to do a Wire work movie ever again. That's just so much trouble. I'm out.
You got to imagine, even though they're obviously on they're on some sets and stuff, but they're not on Europa, I guess is what I'm saying. But they're in this tight little space, and filming in those little spaces is probably tricky. Plus, this is all like weird camera angles, and it's all the stuff I liked about it. But it was probably a lot of work. You're right.
I love the seats. Shot where everybody's in their seats and they're slowly getting picked off. One by one, they're disappearing from the seats. So
you see the two pilots, and then you look past them into the next container, there's four seats.
Yeah, where the captain fell through that hole there. Oh man, that was bad. Poor Daniel Wu.
I did not expect that.
No,
I was shocked. I gasped and put my hand over my mouth when that happened.
When Daniel Wu hit the floor like that, man, it was like, oh god, crap. Yeah.
That was bad.
That was rough.
But when they would do the camera shots where everyone's sitting around talking, all of a sudden, and there's nobody in those chairs anymore.
Oh yeah, they would occasionally would have like one of the screens be like somebody going,
yeah.
And you're like,
The screen off to the left would be somebody screaming. And you're like, wait, we haven't seen that death yet. What's going on? And the way they did that, where they would go back and forth, and you were like, wait, Copley's character's not here. And they're talking real sad about something. Does that mean he died? Well, yeah, he does, but we don't know how he dies.
He's so good. He really makes me feel for him. He's like, he does really good job.
My favorite word Ibbitt used today was margarine.
His accent. Why?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no reason not to. Yeah.
He could have been South American or South African. That would have been fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't do that either, but I like him a lot. So I'm kind of partial to just I just like that he's in it. It's fine with me.
Well, he's top billed too. And I did not feel like there was a standout character like this. This is a movie about six people, right? Yeah. And they're all kind of equals.
For sure. Yeah, it's an ensemble piece, and I think that's actually a positive, right? Like Charlton Copley being the quote unquote most recognizable name in here, only because of things like District 9. And was he in Chappie, or was that just the same director and not?
That's a cool question. I remember now.
Probably he was in Elysium, the other
cameo.
One.
Yeah, Elysium. There we go. Yeah. So not having someone like a Brad Pitt or a George Clooney that were like, okay, well, I'm focused on him and these other characters are ancillary. We know who's going to live or die. It made everybody feel in danger and susceptible. Yeah. And turns out everybody was,
he was Chappie, by the way.
Oh, he was the body actor for Chappie.
Charlton Copley was Chappie?
Chappie,
I thought Chappie was CGI, no?
Well, he is, mo-capped, voiced him.
Voice, okay.
Yeah,
oh, gotcha.
Mo-capped.
Yeah, he probably mo-capped him.
Was he in that?
How quickly we / Brian Ibbitt forget the A-team. My gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't forget.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I thought of that a couple of times. That's another place where he does an American accent.
Yeah.
You know, take him out of his native land. Look at this here. We're Daniel
Wu. Are you surprised I forgot the A-Team, Randy? Come on.
I am just shocked. I'm like shocked and appalled.
I like that movie. I forgot Daniel Wu was Gul'dan in Warcraft.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. That's a weird. How dare you? Speaking of, you know, mocap and voice, but he was very good. He was great as Gul'dan. Yeah. But, you know, he's not recognizable as Daniel Wu in there. But that guy's great. I like all these people. And I appreciate that nobody was supposed to stand out or nobody did. Yeah. They were all just kind of there doing their thing. The standout for me was probably Carolina Windra, who played Katya, who went out and got lost under the water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You spent so much time with her. Did she have a weird pupil thing, or was that just a reflection of the camera?
Her left eye was something was going on. Like I said, I don't know if it was a camera thing, but yeah, I wasn't sure. Maybe it was intentional. It's like,
she's got one of those
with her vision,
like an eye with two colors in it, kind of thing.
I had a friend who had this. He basically has the continent of Africa. His pupil is the shape of Africa.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's like a weird genetic born with it kind of thing. So instead of a round pupil, is there a name?
Coloboma.
Coloboma. Is that what it's called?
Coloboma.
You got cola in your eye.
But she's your MCU connection. She was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., played Izzel. I don't know.
Did you say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents.
I'd watch that.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Must have been like a single episode kind of thing, because I don't remember that character.
Seven episodes, it says.
Other notable people with coloboma include John Ritter. I did not ever notice that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The model, Carolina Wydra. Hmm. Let's see. Andrew Ross Sorkin has this.
She is the model, Carolina Wydra.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that is her. That's literally the girl. Yeah.
George Soros, apparently. Oh, and
we got to come up with a new name.
It was just funny the way Brian said, she is the model, Carolina Wydra. I don't know. Yeah. It made me laugh.
Well, it's like, here's some other people have it, including the person
we're talking about. Yeah.
You know, what's weird is this list doesn't include David Bowie. I guess he had the disease.
He just had the two colors.
No, he had one eye where the iris would never close, would never get smaller.
Oh, really?
It's different. This is it never makes it into a circle when you're in development.
Now I got to go look at my eyes. Are my eyes messed up too?
Yeah, go look at it and then obsess about it and look it up on WebMD. Yeah. Yep, that's what you do. That's the mental health way to deal with it. It's just to go crazy about it. She's in all sorts of stuff.
I Google image search first. That's what I like to do when I have a skin problem.
Yeah.
David Bowie's eye was because someone punched him in the eye when he was 15.
Jeez. I punched one eye so hard, not going to be able to see right for the whole life.
And then his son directed
stars, man.
Then his son directed Daniel Wu in Warcraft. Amazing.
It's all connected. Everything's connected, Scott.
Yeah, I know. So you think our Star Wars
lead to Bowie.
Our Star Trek connections are unique, but nope, it's everything.
It's everything. It's everything.
Listen to this little bit of trivia. So this goes to Brian's intro, which I love the reference to margarine and tangerine.
Oh, yeah.
Margarine.
Hydrazine has been used for decades in spacecraft as thruster propellant and as a fuel for auxiliary power units, and it is very corrosive and very toxic. So that was based on a real deal.
And
don't want to get it on you.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to find. And
the biggest pothole of the movie, in my opinion. Absolutely just the biggest, stupidest thing in the movie. I just tried to forget it and move on.
You didn't like that bit? How come?
It would not stick to your stupid spacesuit. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If you could jettison gallons of this stuff into space and all it would do is just vanish. It's in space.
Well,
it's
why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't some of it, if it hits you just right, propelled towards you and smacked onto you, and your suit has, you know, your suit is, it's not just like rubber, you know.
The outside of the suit. In the vacuum of space,
I don't know. It didn't strike me as impossible.
It clumps up, right? That all liquids and stuff when you put it in space, when it's ejected, like clumps up.
Yeah,
right?
turns into a ball
in an atmosphere in air. Sure, right? You see inside the ship, you see astronauts regularly playing with liquids. Mm-hmm.
So somebody was to schmoop out a big ball of tang out in the. Out in the
vacuum of space. It would boil instantly and vanish.
Well, not boil.
Well, I'm sure the high, whatever that was it called, hydrazine, I'm sure it's got some boiling point that's probably outrated. So it's probably a reason
why. But why would it boil? They're not, this, it would freeze, not boil.
Or thrust repellent.
They're out in the middle of dead space. There's no, heat. There's no extreme heat. It wouldn't boil. That seems insane.
There's no pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
See?
Science.
You're in a vacuum.
Well, you are in a vacuum, but I thought.
It's not a heat boil situation. It's like, it's a boil from lack of pressure.
Molecules bouncing, right. It's trying to. Yeah.
Okay. So then how does anything form up and become a big sphere in space?
Well, that's inside the oxygen that we're talking about.
No. I'm saying the planet itself did that. Moons do that. Tons of objects in space are huge, obviously, and tons of matter.
Right.
But isn't this principle the same?
I would say liquid would respond differently than a solid in space, I'm sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't know. Who knows?
Hey, we're not scientists. You're listening to Film Sack.
Science? Obviously, oh, wait. Science Sack. Sorry. Go ahead.
Science Sack.
I mean, the density of all those objects is probably what makes them into spheres. The most dense construction
like my
you can
brain.
Make with all forces pushing in on all sides.
Are you saying that Avenue 5 lied and all that diarrhea and poo would not rotate
around
boil. The ship?
Yeah, it would boil. It would not stick to the window.
That's a shame.
I think I mean, I am really, really regretting bringing this kind of thing up.
Yeah. On the show. Thanks, Randy. Yeah.
So are all the scientists on our audience.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
What
are
you
going
to
say?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I thought we lost I thought we lost you. Here's one for you. Charlton Copley had the principal role in the Neil Blomkamp movie District 9 movie, which also filmed like a documentary. Oh,
look out.
What? Sweetie, you want a sweetie? Remember that when he said that?
Sweetie man's here.
Yeah, sweetie. You want a sweetie? I keep hearing District 9 might actually happen finally. I wonder if that's true.
Yeah.
I saw something. Or District 10.
I was going to say it did happen.
I'm like sequel. Let's see.
Did somebody time travel back and take it out of your reality, Scott?
District 10 movie. Let's just see if we got any updates because I like that movie a lot.
All right. Okay.
Let's see. District 10, what we know so far. Okay. According to Screen Rant, August of this year says that it's inconclusive. Supposedly it's in the works. All right. Oh, and in that movie, he also had a weird eye problem. Do you remember that?
Oh.
One eye was like an alien eye for a long time.
Right. Yeah.
I'll send it to you guys just so we can.
Oh, that's right. Because he was transmorphigating.
Right. Exactly. He got splattered with some alien stuff and just
some hydrazine.
Mm-hmm. Some hydrazine. Yes.
Yeah. Hydrazine in your eye and you're in huge trouble. Yeah. Also in the landing sequences, there are callbacks to the Apollo program on Apollo 11. The crew also overshot their targeted landing zone and had seconds of fuel remaining. So that's a very similar deal.
I feel like a lot of movies are, I feel like this movie was influenced by the writing of this movie, that inspired this movie is probably, you know, that story plus tie it in with is it Neil deGrasse Tyson? I always say it wrong. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson, whatever. Yeah. That guy, the science guy.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Bill.
Right. He does talk about one time saying, well, I would like to go, you know, ice fishing on Europa. And I wonder if that's like somebody's seed of an idea and they went, oh yeah, what if you did? What if you did find something? What the hell would it be?
Yeah, because I assume that footage was real and taken out of context, right?
Oh, that was real footage. He had said that was in it.
That's an interesting way to. So how does that work, I wonder, in Hollywood? Do you go, we found this archival footage of him just pontificating about the moon, Jupiter's moons, and can we borrow that? And if we do, does Neil deGrasse Tyson get like a, you know, a royalty? You'd have to, right, for showing up in your movie, I would assume. I don't know how that works.
Mm-hmm. I think probably, it'd probably vary. I'm sure you're probably paying to head off any type of lawsuits. Like, I'm sure if you use something like from, like JFK, you probably don't have to pay the family or anything, but
right.
If somebody modern, you probably go, yeah, we better pay him before, you know, so he don't come at us.
So if like, okay, here's another question for you. I don't know how this works. Let's say there's a crew in Orange County and they're driving around and they're filming stuff and they just happen to catch Randy at a mall walking by.
Oh,
so he's just in it. Technically it makes him an extra, but an unknowing one. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does Randy, do they have to let people know and sign things?
I was just watching the documentary on the making of the movie Elf the other day.
Oh, yes.
And they did a bunch of guerrilla-style filming in Manhattan for Elf. Yeah. They walked around with a camera and Will Ferrell in his costume. Mm. And you were led to understand that when he interacted with like random people on the street.
Oh, right. Especially the guy that he's crossing the road to the right. Yeah. Santa, I think.
And then they appear prominently that they were then grabbed after the fact and asked to sign a release to appear in this movie. And then other people aren't. And they actually use some really clever editing. So like they make it so that there's no one that is really like facing the camera and you can really make them out. Mm-hmm, right. You know,
okay.
At least not in the final cut of the film.
Right.
I think it goes down like this. I think that you can be filmed in public anywhere and they ain't nothing you can do about it. But if you could make a case that your appearance in that film or piece of work influenced their ability to make money at it, that you could sue for some money probably.
I've seen signs set up in an area before saying filming will be taking place in this area. Yeah. If you know, by walking through, you know, on this block, you are granting them license for your likeness to be in the film.
Because this is a sue thing. It's like you can sue anybody for anything if you can prove your point.
That they benefited from.
Yeah, yes. Suing, that's literally the definition of suing. It's almost like, you know, it's not like we're going, there's a specific law. We're saying, no, I have a grievance, so I'm coming to
payment for this.
So that explains why. So, for example, like in this day we live in now, if a very popular, you know, 50 million follower TikTok influencer is out filming something somewhere and somebody's in the background of their video.
Yeah,
that's, you know, that's almost exponentially higher amounts of views that would get versus some movie where you accidentally walked into it. So does it the same thing apply there? Can you sue the influencer and say, I want money for me being in the back of your thing? Like, it's the as this stuff accelerates and everyone has a camera and the internet is what it is, I don't know how you even track this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Because it used to be unique.
You're making a movie, it's real easy. It's real easy. We're going to use some footage of Dr. deGrasse Tyson. Somebody contacts his people and says, are we free to do that? And then they either say yes, or they say yes, but you need to donate $1,000 to Dr. deGrasse Tyson's favorite charity. And then you do that and you have them sign something digitally and off you go.
Okay.
Like super easy.
That just heads off any risk of lawsuit. Probably this is how America works for the most part. Almost every time when you're talking about a production like this, it's going to be up to what the insurance company thinks is going to be a risk against the profitability of what you're putting out. So they're going to go, oh yeah, you better get the signs. Insurance is so important in America. That's where everything is getting driven.
It also
from.
Sucks in America.
Money.
But yeah.
No. Yeah.
I was kind of shocked at how little trivia there is for this movie. And it made me wonder if maybe some things kind of got cut short, you know, like maybe at some point in wrapping up the creation of the film, someone decided, oh, this is not going to be super profitable. Let's just like get it out there. It just, I don't know. Where are all the YouTube videos about the making of Europa Report and all that stuff?
It does seem quiet. Yeah. It's weird. I mean,
I would be totally into looking for that stuff.
I would too. And the trivia page is usually at least, I don't know, a page or something. This had like five entries. Two of them are spoiler, which is usually way at the bottom. So
if you look at its box office and business on IMDb, it was a massive bomb. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's correct. I really don't know what we're seeing there. Like,
I don't. It went to video. Did it just go straight to video on demand? Because that's what it says on limited. So I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. Release dates. It went into video on demand in 2013 and then limited, I think, probably, well, in the United States, probably. So it was what, like a $10 million budget, but they did a box office of $125,000. I can't be right. What does it say, $125,000?
I don't know. It's like that's bomb of the year.
But this is not a limited movie that it takes a lot of money to make, right? You've got four sets. You've got those sets don't even have to be intricate because the camera work only has to shoot it from one angle. Yeah. And then you've got special effects, probably the biggest expense. Not a huge cast to pay.
You got to pay that Charlton Copley money. Straight to video.
You got Copley money. Yeah, I mean, that's my one of the things I like about it is it feels like a small personal project, but it's very professional. It's not like they didn't cut big corners. I never once went, oh, that's cheap, that's lame, that doesn't hold up. Like, and the acting's really good. So if they lost that much, you know, if they lost money on this, like hand over fist, I'd feel really bad because I don't think it deserves
in the long
that.
See, this is all the this is how the it's a different thing, right? I mean, this is straight to video, essentially video on demand. That
was it?
Seeing a that's what I was
saying.
So
it never got released to theaters.
Okay. It did get released to theaters limitedly, as you can tell by the box office numbers. But the biggest lion's share is going to be going to streaming services and stuff. But they don't really necessarily have to log all of that here for everybody to view. So I still think they probably made some money, I would think.
Well, I don't know.
They wrote it off, that's for sure. They didn't pay no taxes that year. How about that?
Yeah, there
it
you
was
go.
Nominated for a Bradbury Award. This is Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. Yes. And it did not win. In 2014, they gave a Bradbury Award to the movie Gravity, which came out the same year as Europa Report. And that same year was also the year of Pacific Rim.
Oh, so. Wow. Okay, now hold on. That's a bummer for them because that feels like, especially in the case of Gravity, Gravity is going to overshadow all your space movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And. Right. As well, it should. It's very,
it's
you know,
bad timing. Yeah, it's bad timing on Gravity and Europa Report's.
Yeah, little deep impacty Armageddon-y, you know?
It kind of is, yeah. Oh, you've got a person who's floating, jettisoning off into space. Oh, so do we. We have George Clooney. What have you got?
Yeah. Oh, man. No. Too soon on that George Clooney character. Oh, my gosh. that's an interesting thing I hadn't really thought of. But it's just, I don't know. I feel a little bit like telling everybody, don't miss out on this little gem that no one saw.
Yeah.
You know? That's what's good about this, but it is one of those things.
We get to do that. We get to tell people right now, don't miss out on this gem. And obviously, you're listening to the episode, so chances are you've probably seen it. But
Yeah.
It's got a great example of the too dumb to live trope.
You know, that's a good one. That deserves this. Yeah. To explain it.
The too dumb to live is that trope of the plot of the movie. The script declares this person is doing something so dumb and so out of character that they're gonna die and they're gonna deserve it. And this is Katya not returning to the ship. Once the first time they say, you know what, radiation's going up. That's it. I'm back.
Yeah, go back.
You know?
Yeah, get out of there. I get that she sees this bioluminescence and goes, "Ooh, a new. I'm a scientist. This is what you do. You go headlong."
Exactly. See, that's the thing for me. It's
she's
like,
also a trained astronaut, and they're like that. She's just abandoning all of her training, all of her like her oath of office. You know, she's just like, "Nope, I'm not going back. I'm going to see this light."
Yeah.
It's like
and is that's the
don't besmirch the great name of model Carolina Wydra.
Right.
She's awesome. By the way, now I know where I've seen her. She was on True Blood and she was naked a lot in that.
What eyes?
That's what I remember now.
Those aren't the eyes you're looking at.
No. That's why I remember her now. I was like, why is she so familiar? Oh yeah, I've seen a lot more of her than I remember.
Right. Anyway. But it is about a pursuit of the human pursuit of, you know, knowledge.
Science of knowledge.
Yes. Like is it worth the sacrifice? Well, we had that question posed to us as we had a Coppola floating off in space. Oh, was it? I don't know. Was it worth it?
Did you call him Coppola?
Coppola.
I mean, his name's virtually impossible for anyone to get right, so it's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I, you know what?
Coppola.
I'm just going to say, I'm not saying, you know, reevaluate the Oscars that year. I'm just going to say, I thought he did a great job of that feeling of this is it. I'm done. I'm screwed. And they really built up this whole Family Guy angle. Right.
Yeah.
So he's going to, you know, have to say goodbye to his kids and all this stuff's coming all at once. And he's got to float out there and accept this. And the weird audio treatment it was getting from the breakup of the radio.
Who did it better? Who did it better? Copley or Bruce Willis?
Copley.
Oh, or Clooney.
Or Clooney.
Clooney was good, but I like Bruce Willis when he's telling
But that thing was so over the top.
My son,
I got cold chills.
You did, but you only did because it's over the top and ridiculous. Like, yeah, I can't take that one as seriously. This felt tragic, you know.
Even though we know it didn't turn out that way, I think Ed Harris's in the abyss, Ed Harris's final moments where he's descending and he's like, yeah, you knew the typing on his thing, knew this was a one-way trip. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know, he's,
that was good.
That's the most heartbreaking version of this thing, I think.
Yeah. Speaking of which, sorry to change gears, but you mentioned the abyss, which makes me think of James Cameron. The new Shape of Water deal, not Shape of Water, whatever they call it.
Fishman sex movie.
Whatever the new Avatar is called, the subtitle.
The way
we've underestimated that guy once again. Apparently that thing is kick ass amazing.
Yeah. Subtitle Bluey is what it's called, I believe. Yeah.
Subtitle
Bluey. Is it this week, this Friday, upcoming Friday that it comes
think
out
so.
For us recording?
I think so. Early reviews
are 3D. If it's not 3D, I'm not going.
You know what?
They don't make 3D movies anymore, Brian. Come on.
Plus I'm the opposite of that. I'm not going if it is 3D. Let's see. Let me just look this up.
So he's going to look at a bunch of flat blue people. All right. That's your choice.
Avatar. The Way of the Water, it's called. Here it is. No official reviews, but the like sneak preview people are all losing their freaking shit about it. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited.
Do you suppose there's anybody out there who's like really averse to the color blue? Because they would have a really bad time. It's in the ocean. It's about a bunch of blue people.
Well, what if you have colorblind? Can a colorblind listener let us know if you go to this movie? Does everyone look like orange or brown?
I'm sure, it's different color. There's different. There's different types of colorblind.
Green, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, there's different. There's different types of colorblindness.
There's lots of.
Yeah, there's. I think there's some people that just straight up see in like monochrome.
But it shouldn't affect them because that would be. We're all going to be essentially colorblind because it's going to basically be a few color choices and.
The only review I've seen so far was praising the 3D like it was the greatest 3D ever. Like
Which
they
is,
were just like
James Cameron started it pretty much.
They were like over the moon about this Avatar movie.
Well, he definitely had a hand in the early days, no question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very excited, weirdly. I mean, I like Avatar. I was never a hater. I think it's, you know, everyone complains about the story. It is a simple story, but sometimes simple stories work and I'm fine with it.
Whatever, Fern Gully.
Yeah, a little bit of that maybe, but I'm excited about it.
You dragged me away from Europa Report right in the middle of talking about a really interesting trope, which is the thing where, you know, like the heroic sacrifice trope, right? Where they're talking their last words before they die.
Yeah.
It happens again in this movie, and it really got me at the end, right?
The woman left. Yeah.
She's looking at the creature coming at her.
She realizes that it's going to all be a huge senseless sacrifice if she doesn't do this thing, right? And so, like, she's like working really, really hard to make the comms work, you know?
Yeah.
And like that, I don't know. It just really got me. There was something about like it's coming. This alien's coming.
She's got a cool name, by the way. Anna Maria Marinica is her name. Anna Maria
and Michael Nyquist doing his Andre character doing, you know, it's like, okay, he has all the experience and it's like, okay, this is it. This is the most, he's good at prioritizing. He's like, okay, we're dead. There's no sense in going any further, but we got to make it worth something.
Yeah.
And he convinces her. It's really good.
Yeah. She's in tons of things, a lot of British productions and junk. She's Romanian. So that's why she had that weird accent. But she's, I agree, Randy. That was a rad moment that could have been bad. That could have been the moment where the movie breaks because you're like, okay, here we go. Big CGI monster at the end. Big deal, blah, blah. But I thought that stuff was handled really well. I had legit claustrophobia of this idea of all of that ice and water rushing in there and coming up to her upper level, which is where the whole look paid off in the end. Like, that was something that really
and good me. Misdirection too for those guys because they had her filming all of her parts near the end where it was in close up so you thought she was just on stage somewhere and not necessarily still on the ship.
Yeah, she was doing the diary video and you thought that maybe she made it back. She's part of the documentary or whatever and nope.
And the way it's scattered with all of the Dr. Unger narration. Dr. Unger, played by Embeth Davids, who is our poor man's Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, I was over Unger. She was Unger Dunn. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Airplane reference.
Like when I first saw her, I was like, Alyssa Milano's in this movie? How exciting. This is really exciting.
She does have Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, you're not wrong. She's cool, though. I like, again, this cast isn't the problem. The guy that played Daniel, not Daniel Wu, but the guy that played the character Daniel. Again, I forgot his name.
Christian Camargo.
There it is. If you haven't seen C, which is a weird thing to say, he steals that show. He's fantastic.
He
plays Tamakti June, if you're wondering.
Yeah, and his character is unbelievably cool and twisted and then redemptive somehow and a million things. He's really fantastic in it. And when I saw him, I didn't read his name first. I saw him in the thing and I'm like, I know him. Why do I know him? Yeah. He looks very slight in this, like smaller in this, whereas in C, he's like a gigantic, imposing human being. See,
and he plays the doomsayer or the pessimist, and I like that. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. I'm glad to have the character there.
Oh, let's see. I found a good picture of him in this. You guys got to see this. If you haven't seen C, I know Randy and
It's got the best character names. Freaking Baba Voss.
I know, dude. Oh, I love everything about it. Check this out. So look at this picture of him on a horse.
Look at this picture of him on a horse.
Look at that.
Look at that on that horse. Look
on
at
a horse.
On that horse.
He's just a
holy
badass.
Hell.
I love that look. He's so
Can cool. the horse see, by the way?
The horses, I think, aren't blind. Weird. I think the animals are seeing.
Animals can see.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Okay. I think that's the deal. They've talked about it a little bit. But
they got these weird things on the horse's eyes, which really freaks me out. Ugh.
Yeah, they got what is
it? Almost like they're sewn shut or something.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's a weird angle, but.
Yeah, it doesn't like blinders. It's something more organic. It's weird looking.
That show is so cool. Gosh, dang it, it's good. I'm behind, though. Got to watch this last season.
Can we talk a little bit more about found footage? I'm just blown away that I didn't spend the entire movie going, ooh, found footage. Oh, this is found footage. I'm thinking about found footage. It really swept me away, and I stopped thinking about it almost instantly.
Yeah. I mean, it's found footage, and they tried to... You know, they kept putting logos up that would be like watermarks on the security cameras and all that kind of stuff to try to keep the illusion alive. But I agree. After a while, you're just sort of, I don't know. There were enough cameras in enough places that it just felt like a normal movie.
It didn't feel like
ways.
It was all coming from some girl's little home video camera.
Yeah, because these cameras made sense and they were fully rendered cameras, HD cameras. It's not like we're watching Blair Witch where it's like somebody's running around with a freaking, you know,
Handicam.
Video tape camera. So it's you almost forget completely after a couple of minutes. Like,
are they always scary? Found footage movies have to be scary for some reason.
Let's think of one that isn't.
Right. Otherwise we just get the story. Right. We just get the firsthand story. So there has to be something tragic, right?
Sure.
I mean, otherwise.
I'm trying to think of one.
It's a thing that builds suspense because you're only seeing it from the character's point of view, which means you're only getting their side.
I never got more sick and had to leave a theater and puke than when I watched Cloverfield.
Cloverfield. That's
that was famous for that. People sending people out of the theaters because they really couldn't do it.
It didn't bother me as odd.
It was the stupidest thing by me. What an idiot Randy Deluxe was in 2008. I ate three huge hot dogs. With jalapenos.
Oh my God.
Right before seeing Cloverfield.
Did you know it was going to happen? Or did you like take it as a challenge? No, like, I don't ever get sick.
I had no idea. I went into this movie blind, and I'm glad because it makes the movie so much better if you have no idea.
I still, list of shame, still haven't seen Cloverfield.
Really? Wow. I'm so excited. We haven't done it.
Yeah, we should do it. I would rather watch it here with you guys than just watch it.
What was the other one?
Didn't we talk about it because you were like, we were talking about Lizzie Kaplan. I could have sworn.
No, I knew she's in there. But
we watched the other. Did we watch the other Cloverfield?
No, we haven't watched Cloverfield Project.
No, I haven't seen any.
Was it Cloverfield 10? What was it?
Cloverfield Lane.
Cloverfield 10, Cloverfield Lane. I haven't seen any of the Cloverfield.
They're all streaming. We're adding to the list.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, get them in. I'd be happy to do it. I really like.
Eat hot dogs.
There are people in that movie that I really like, Lizzie Kaplan being one of them, who all went on to have decent careers and stuff, but I've never seen that movie other than clips and, you know.
See, now that would have been one. I know we have one of these every episode. That would have been one that I definitely put money on that we watched for Film Sack. So that surprised me.
Oh, we should have taken your money before we told you.
Should have taken my money.
Damn it.
Too late now.
What were we thinking? Could
have had money.
Could have had the $4 and a Bojo's pizza coupon that's in my pocket right now.
I want to have a little production meeting in the middle of recording an episode. Do we watch Clover Field as a watch along, maybe?
Oh, yes.
Interesting.
Listen, I I'm going to go out on a limb or go out, stand on a platform. Give me my soapbox. I think we need to do more full movie watch-alongs. It takes just as long as when we watch the movie on a Thursday or Friday night to prepare for this show, and we can watch the whole thing while we record the show.
And the problem
right
is,
blown away.
Has to be the right kind of movie.
Obviously. Right, I agree. But also, there's a couple of things just to consider. One, I think it needs to be the SAC 90 rule. All right, 90 minutes.
No 3-hour
movies.
Sure.
It needs to be.
I love it.
It needs to be not too frequent. Because people don't,
because it's
there are thrusting. People who don't love that anyway. They just don't like our watch alongs, and that's I know they're a minority, but I don't want to keep throwing them.
So I'm really picky about the importance of the dialogue in the movie. Mm-hmm. So if we'd watched along Europa Report, I would have been miserable.
No, that would have been a bad movie to do a watch along. Yeah.
Here's another scene where they're looking at each other. This is really good part. I like this part.
Here's what Cloverfield has going for it. It's found footage. It's got it's not reliant on dialogue. You can kind of turn the sound off in the movie and know exactly why people are doing the things they're doing. And it's 85 minutes long, so we have 5 extra minutes that we could do something else.
It's high energy for most of that too. There's a lot of either like nothing being said or something
or all
really
the things
exciting
being said.
Happening.
I agree.
I think it would work well for that.
I'm fine with that. We let's plan that one as that. And
okay. Have I already said this? Would you guess that we did a live sack and a speed, or if we did a regular episode of speed?
We did a regular episode.
We did a live sack.
No, we didn't.
We did it.
Are you serious? Did we really?
I kid you not.
Oh my gosh. Huh. I swear we did a.
I did too. Yeah.
I know when Brian pulled up that list of movies that we did a live sack to, I was like, really? What? I don't remember half of these being live sacked. Because we did a Jackie Chan movie too, didn't we? That we live sacked.
Yeah.
Another Bronx. Perfect one because the dialogue is so unimportant.
Rumble in the Bronx, I think. Was that
I think that's it.
Yeah, it's been a while though. I always just remember Sudden Death, the hockey arena one with Van Damme.
Yeah,
that was one of our early ones.
Yeah, I think once a quarter, maybe like once every 3 months is probably a good frequency.
Squeeze one in here and there.
Hey, thank you, listeners, for attending our production meeting.
Yep, we like to include you on all of our decisions, and you were here for it for that. Let's do this real quick, though.
Gross.
I found one thing gross and one thing only. Did anyone, other than, everyone living in such sweaty proximity and all that, forget that for a minute, but what do you guys think I chose there?
When we're talking about BO, it got me there. I've been to enough cons to know that you can't see it on screen, but it's there.
It's there. Even on a set there. Like this. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Y'all stink.
I don't know. I can't. I couldn't. I didn't see anything that made me take that note.
Well, right. There's not much touching between any of the people.
Fairly sterile set.
Very sterile set.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay. All right. I'll give it to you. The giveaway happened. Oh, let's see. Do I have a file? I think I have audio to back it up. Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. This right here, this entire clip.
You're worried about my smell? And you're drinking my urine?
Yeah, they're drinking.
Oh, there you go. Drinking my urine?
They're drinking each other's pee.
The talk of urine drinking. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Can't deal with the idea. Let me make this for the record. Scott believes that part of the future is figuring out better ways to recycle human waste and use it in productive ways, whether that's crop fertilization, whether that's recycling our pee to be drinkable.
I got news for you. We already
in a lot of ways we already do. You're right.
We already do this. Where do you think it goes? Where do you think
you're going straight from urine to drinking water. The way that works right now is your sewage water is being treated, and a lot of that water is used for secondary stuff like watering and parks and junk like that. But I know that we're headed to a place where you and I could get into a space shuttle and go somewhere, and everything we drink and eat might be reconstituted human business. I'm just not ready for it. That's all I'm saying. I'm nervous about that. I'm nervous about drinking your pee.
The problem is we've got such a big cycle of how things get back to our body that you can't easily just, figure it out. It's too difficult to go, it goes here, and then it gets in this environment, and then it goes through this and this. And by the time it gets to you, you don't even think about it. But when you're in like an isolated environment, it's like, you pee here.
Because then it's me and
then it goes a little machine.
Yeah, it's me and Dunaway on a ship, and it's either my pee or your pee or a combination of our pee. And I don't like it.
Right.
Don't like it, sir. No, I don't.
Maybe we should just hold hands and trade polypeptides.
All right. Okay. Is that how it works, Kang California. Or Kronos or whatever your name is? Yeah, sorry.
Randy, this is a desert where millions and millions of people live in Southern California, and the water authorities have a lot of power. Like, you, when you go vote for mayor, mm-hmm. you vote for people to be on the local, like, water district board or whatever.
Yeah.
And at some point after I moved here, I went looking into, like, what do they do? What's the deal here? And I regret that.
Really? That makes me laugh. I don't look. The scariest place I ever went as a kid was a school. What do you call that when you go out, when you get in the bus and go somewhere?
A field trip.
Field trip. Thank you. We took it. I couldn't think of what that was called.
Bussing it? You call it bussing?
Into the field.
We went bussing.
This is the scariest thing, guys.
So this scared the shit out of me. I was 7 or 8 years old. Went on a field trip to the water treatment plant, and that place. It wasn't the smell or any of that. That was all there. What bothered me was these gigantic pools of dark, dark, can't see anything past the first few inches water that they had there. And that place just, to this day, gives me anxiety to think about how deep and dark and who, what's even in there. And there's like big turbines and ugh, I didn't like
how, you guys don't want to know the things I know. I do work. My day job is working at a utilities company. I don't do utility stuff. I do computer stuff, but I'm privy to all of that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And have to, at some point you just go, okay. And you just accept all of it and you drink your water.
We have two water systems in my neighborhood. You know, we have the water that's provided to all of the residences, and then there's this gray water system in parallel to it,
right?
Which you know, waters the, I don't know, the park or whatever,
parks and stuff. Yeah,
and I just I really regret finding out what's in that. I'm glad I was able to stop. I didn't go all the way through the process, but that gray water.
That you could live here, and this is what you would have. You would have so we get all our secondary from the lake over here when there's runoff from the lake, and that's fine most years. But on the years where we have like overpopulation of ducks, geese, and fish, that secondary water, you'll just be in a park and the sprinklers will come on and it suddenly smells like the worst sulfur fart you ever heard and you smelled in your life. See, and you're like, I can't get wet in this. Yeah. I'm gonna die here.
Stephen King makes an entire career out of shit that we don't want to think about. And that's where the real human horror is, right? It's like we've built up this little fantasy of ours that the world this is this fantasy. and then we tear it down and it's like, oh my god, this is what we really are. That's scary.
There's a lot of poo and pee in the world that we are shielded from, you know?
Yeah.
Because we got these beautiful porcelain thrones that we can go just do away with things. And it's out of sight.
It's like
out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, see it's later, gone. Yeah.
Just a lot of countries where that stuff is just right out in front of you everywhere you walk.
You guys got to hear this. This is a funny story real quick. So Van, my little grandson, he's 3 years old. I'm sitting on the can. I think I told this story on one of the shows or a pre-show or something. I think it was with you, Dunaway, on Play Retro. Anyway, I'm sitting on the can. And he comes over to the door, and I didn't realize I had it not fully pulled shut. I was only planning on being there for a little bit. He cracks it open, sticks his head in, and he goes, pops, pops, pops. And I go, what? And he goes, making a match. And I said, what? He goes, you making a match? I said, sure, I'll be out in a minute. Pulled the door shut. Find out later. This is what he says at home, because if you poop, you make two of them, and they're a match.
It's because it's number two, right?
Yeah, I thought he meant are you lighting I thought he meant are you lighting a match, and I'm like, how does this kid know that trope? Like, right, lighting a match. Kidding. But what he meant was, you got, if you're gonna poo, you got to make two little, you know, cute little matches.
Identical, sure. Yeah. Don't just give up after the first one. You've probably got a second one in the chamber.
Dude, I want to be three again. Three is an amazing age. Say the
darndest thing.
Don't they?
Don't they, though?
They do. Yes. Yeah, they do. Speaking of saying the darndest thing, should we do some darned clips? Yeah. How do you guys feel about that?
If we don't.
Clips.
Yeah, if we don't,
so
what?
Going to play like 20 clips of like engine noise?
Well, see, okay, you say that, but it is a bit of a problem. There were not a ton of things to clip. It's not a talkie.
20 clips of them saying, get back to the ship. Come back to the ship right now.
Yeah.
Turn around. Come back.
Plus, nobody said anything overtly stupid. And it wasn't, no one was acting poorly. So it's a little tricky. I think I only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 clips that I thought were kind of worthy to pull
out. I love the deadpan of him when he rips his, when Andre rips his glove.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I tore my glove.
Because he's got to stay calm. It's like, no.
His character stuck with me the most at the end of it all. I thought I was going to be the most annoyed with him, but I really liked Andre. Hero. Yeah. In a lot of ways, he kind of was the hero. You thought, oh, he's the crazy one. He's going to F everything up. He didn't see a light. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Oh, him floating in the airlock after getting saved. Like,
Right? Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, that was really good.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Let's play this one. This is, okay, I may have done a little work on this. I'll just play it for you. Enjoy this.
For 16 long months, I've been asked the simple but loaded question.
Don't change the subject. Just answer the fucking question.
I remember that part.
Wow.
Yeah, that part, I forgot that he was there.
Yeah.
Some people are so rude at TED Talks.
I agree. Mm. Here's Chopley doing a thing. Let's see.
Okay, so this is actually one of two living quarters.
I thought he faked it pretty good.
Yeah.
He can do an accent that's not his. He never turned around and went, you want a sweetie? You want a sweetie? Here's Space Excitement.
Space Excitement. Woo.
Yeah. He had the best lines, probably. Yeah.
He did. He did.
Or as like notable, like funny, trying to be funny lines, I guess. Here's your dude from the C, the Daniel guy. Here he is.
We're here. We flew 590 million kilometers and then landed 100 meters off the mark.
He's got some cool voice business going on there.
Yeah.
For a little skinny man. The captain takes a dive. All right, this is just a sound clip of him hitting the floor. I don't know why I captured it. I just thought it was visceral. So relive that moment with me as I hit play. Oh, that's the end of that.
That bag. That bag of
I like
meat,
how
boy.
There's a little drum. Mm-hmm. Someone hits a drum in the sound production for that.
I follow the coolest lady on TikTok who films her. She's a professional Foley artist, and she does work for video games and movies and TV and stuff. And she just films herself doing Foley work, and it is fascinating.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
God, I'd love to see that.
The stuff she uses, like the materials and the and she's always got a screener in front of her, so she's watching the action and doing it while it's happening in real time, and it's fascinating. That sounds like the coolest job. I would love that
for sure.
Andre, the party pooper, here.
Andre?
We can't.
I can't do it. We can't do it. and then I always like these. I mentioned earlier, they're cutting off audio effects to kind of show when footage went out or when somebody was too far away or whatever. Yeah. Here's an example of it.
I'm moving to the...
I just like it. I think it's cool. And that's your clips, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed the clips this week.
Yeah, there weren't. I felt a little bad when I was done. I was like, oh, I got like 7 or 8 of these. But that's just the kind of movie it is. So once in a while that happens. You know, we could have done something with subtitles. It'd been worse. No clips.
And boy, it's really like we're really spoiling this thing hard. If you haven't watched it before listening to this episode, like it's I'm sorry, but this is a movie about finding aliens.
And
I don't understand. I guess it's just for like a dramatic effect, but the crew here really have a hard time saying it out loud,
right?
Like they're like they should be talking. They're scientists. They should be talking overtly. I wonder if we're going to find any aliens. I wonder if there's aliens under that ice.
Yeah.
Like, it's so,
and all they
it's
do
so
instead
weird.
Is say, oh, there's a complex organism. And, you know, they were very sciencey about it, like in a teacher kind of way. And they should have been.
It was interesting.
More, yeah.
It was interesting. I was trying to figure out if it, I couldn't figure out. They were trying to say something about optimism versus pessimism in this movie. And I couldn't quite figure it out because I was like, oh, because everybody seems to be optimistic or have hope. Seems to die. I couldn't figure out exactly where they're going with it other than just talking about human nature.
Well, I will say this. I think I said it earlier, or at least alluded to it, but I'll say it again. I think one of the strengths of this movie is there's no overt villain in this. There's other than the undiscovered, right? Like the team is actually a team. They're working together. They argue, but in a constructive way to get to an ends to justify whatever means they have to take. Like,
right.
That's unusual. Most of these movies feature somebody who's a complete dick. He's going to sabotage everything. This person's going to go crazy. Like, whatever the thing is.
And even the alien's not really necessarily a dick. They could just be curious, too. And it's like, oh, look at this bag of meat. What is this? Oh, it's dead. Just, oh, no.
It's strange that even at the end of the film, this is over. We're getting the last words from this TV host, basically. She doesn't say, and then we saw an octopus made of lights.
Like, and now we're on our way to check it out again.
Why would you not be really clear? It's just, I don't know. There's something about it.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. But and
it
I also,
feels like it's going to be the future of the History Channel, right? It's going to go from Bigfoot and pyramids to this.
It's going
to
be that dude going, aliens.
Oh, man. Aliens. You know what I wish? I wish the History Channel was more hard history and less over the top stupid reality,
like it was in the beginning.
Yeah. Cuz the quote unquote documentaries they have on there are always like Hitler, he had the thing with the deal and the music is loud right now and now we're showing
Hitler
you
Hitler was an alien.
Here's some fake footage we made up of what it was like in a bunker, and I'm like, look, I don't want to go to Hulu for better documentaries than you, but that's what I have to do.
I want to give you some of the most popular shows on the History Channel right now.
Go.
The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah.
The Unexplained Mysterious Phenomena. Lost Gold of the Aztecs.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's bullshit.
I'm sorry.
It's all bullshit.
There's a show called The Proof is Out There on the History Channel.
There should be like, if you get a high level domain like that, you should have to have some kind of integrity, right?
No, it's like the Learning Channel. Remember when it was about learning things? Yeah. Now it's about this two-headed midget married a donkey.
Be responsible.
I'm not kidding. They have a show called Doomsday, 10 Ways the World Will End. It's the Future Channel, not the History Channel.
The Future Channel.
True story.
The Cheeseball Channel. I don't like it. The cable's weird. All right, let's get to the deal here, which is the Film Sack checklist. And boy, howdy. There are three here. We got Scary Stuff You Can't See. Check. That's in there.
No.
I thought that, by the way, Europian surface, that moon surface, was very cool. That was rad.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Seems like it would be a lot more slippery.
Yeah. I don't know if that was based on something we know about the place or not. You know, that kind of rolling.
Photos.
Is that it?
Okay. If we've passed by, hello.
Like 2013, I don't know what kind of images we had, but it's pretty cool. Anyway, Russian, you're not sure if you're supposed to trust or not. Check. That happened. Yeah. And finally, incredibly resilient camera system. Check. Let's get to these Star Trek connections. I'm going to guess there's none, but I don't want to be wrong. So
there's really none. I mean, really none. I dug deep.
It's in space. That's the connection, right?
I was looking at assistant art directors. I was looking at editors. I'm not surprised, but you know, Bear McCreary has never worked on Star Trek. There is nothing in this movie and a lot of these, this happens about once every 50 film sacks. We just don't have any connections for whatever reasons. The reasons here are, these are all people making this movie who aren't in a Hollywood system,
right?
For the most part. Bear McCreary is, but this is sort of an independent film.
So I do want to say, so Bear McCreary won best music at the Game Awards the other night, and he looked like cool Jesus. You know,
can we talk about that now? I don't think anybody will be talking about it days from now. I just want to talk about the Game Awards real quick.
Oh gosh, I spent 4 hours doing that last night. But go ahead.
Everybody lost their minds about the Game Awards not having good security around the stage.
Yeah.
Lost their. I mean,
well, because that kid got up
that
there.
Will Smith would come up and slap some.
Well, no, this kid who's known for this crap. Got up and grabbed the mic at the end and said some weird semi-anti-Semitic.
He dedicated nonsense. The Game of the Year award to his Reform Orthodox rabbi, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it was a weird thing to say. And he's just
hysterical.
And he's known for stuff. I don't know if I'd call it hysterical. I just want to get up and whack him in the head. It's like, get out of here, you little shit.
It's fine.
He's 15 years old.
It's just the younger people trying to get some attention. That's fine. That's what you do.
Everybody just losing their minds about security, not facing the right direction, security not moving quickly enough to act, and so on and so on. Of course security failed. Security will always fail. The people who are attacking a thing go where the security isn't. Mm-hmm. This is not a big surprise.
Yeah, you know? I don't think that's, they're focusing on the wrong thing. I'm more focused on how this little shithead got raised, because he does this all the time. He's been on InfoWars. He's been on, BlizzCon 2019. He got up in the Taliesin presentation with a WoW Q&A and started yelling free Hong Kong or whatever.
Yeah, oh, really? And then Taliesin approached him with the mic and was like, say what you want to say.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the air right now. Yeah. Say what you want to
say. And he was like 13 then. He's like, what I'm saying is this kid is hell bent on coming into a camera and going YOLO and then running out. That's his deal.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you.
Uh-huh.
This car.
So sick of those people. Smash, like, follow my YouTube channel, or I'm sure he's got some hashtags. Yeah, just
all of that stuff, right? Like, that just like, look at me.
Exactly.
I just
can't get over all of this craziness about security. You're never going to have 100% security coverage for all vectors. And because you don't, the people who are going to make mischief go where the security is not facing. That's how it works.
Yeah.
I know you saw it happening on camera. Like, I was sitting in my living room screaming when this kid was walking up behind these people, like the Elden Ring producers.
Yeah, all these guys who flew in from Japan, and then they got this little kid from New York falling.
What is that kid doing there?
This is kind of interesting, because the kids growing up now, generations before us, they live in a much less, whether it's true or not, they live in a world that seems less secure, because they deal with, school shootings and school shooting drills. This is their, this is their nuclear fear, right? Yeah. And so we expect everything to have a certain level of security. It's just fascinating. And then everybody's also trying to get their face out there. It's like, because everybody has an opportunity now.
He might actually be a real shit gibbon too, and has like gnarly stuff to say that I don't want to hear anyone say.
Exactly. So,
just tired of these like troll. It's like the most trolly ass troll business. I freaking hate it. Really
is. The more you try to control speech and say,
he can do whatever you want. Here's my speech. He's a dick. There's my speech.
I agree. I'm just saying that we've gotten to a place that we're telling people to shut up so often. Now the dicks are getting even more emboldened.
Well, maybe. I'm not saying he needs to shut up. You know what? That guy can have his Twitch channel, his YouTube account, go on InfoWars, do whatever he wants. My free speech is, F off, you little twerp. That's what I say.
Yeah, yeah.
So there, we both had our free speech time. I love it.
Just a wild. And I realize it's a tempest in a teacup. Like, I'm talking about a few thousand people on YouTube. I'm not, most people had no idea this happened even 48 hours later.
I had no idea.
It's so weird to me how people react to, no one wants a bunch of police around until something goes wrong. Then everybody wants full coverage. I want a policeman every five feet,
Every doghouse, outhouse, penthouse, YouTube channel.
Yep.
Penthouse.
Whorehouse. Wait, did he say whorehouse? He did. Didn't he say whorehouse or
penthouse? No, he said,
it's like, I volunteer for the whorehouse, sir.
Okay.
I'm going.
Best little henhouse in Texas. Is that, good. That's a real thing? All right.
That's right.
Well, let's move on from that to, we had no Star Trek connections. I'm going to make a bold statement. I'm going to say the soundtrack grade today is a P for perfect for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It had a lot of like blah moments and just like cool. I like a good science fictiony sounding thing. The right highs, the right lows. I thought it was really strong.
Yeah.
I liked
it. And did you even think of, Galactica? I didn't.
I did not think of Galactica. No.
So he somehow did something new-ish. Yeah, new enough.
He's just great at adapting to whatever
he's amazing.
Project he's working on and not always sounding the same.
Yeah, his work for Ragnarok, the God of War game, that music is unbelievably good. Mm. It's really special. It's very good.
Really good.
I haven't even played the game, but I've listened to the soundtrack.
Really good music in Rings of Power.
Yep.
He did the music for the Dark Tower. I thought that music was really good.
It was. I don't know anything he's done that isn't. He's doing the music for. Oh no, he's not doing Cocaine Bear. That's just because I searched for Bear.
Wait, did you guys see Derby Crary?
Did you guys see the trailer for Cocaine Bear? You got to watch that. That's great.
It has to be on our list.
It's coming to Film Sack suit. Don't worry.
I hope so. I don't want it to be like Sharknado-y kind of, and I can't tell.
Yeah. Self-aware kills a thing like that for us instantly.
Yeah.
Because we can't make fun of a thing that's already making fun of itself.
Yeah. It's Mark Mothersbaugh. Mark Mothersbaugh did
Devo's
the music.
Mark Mothersbaugh. Nice. Yeah.
Wait, did for this movie?
For Cocaine Bear.
Oh, well, that's cool too, though. Well,
yeah. He did a Christmas album years and years ago that was on a thing called eMusic, if you remember eMusic, called Joyous Mutato, and it's a Christmas album I put on every year because it's Christmas songs done with synthesizers and things that sound like Silent Night or sound like Good King Wenceslas or things like that, and it's so good.
Name again?
You have to share
Joyous Mutato.
Joyous Mutato. Hold on.
Yeah.
Joyous Mutato. J-O-Y.
J-O-Y-A-U-X or E-U-X.
Oh, I
don't know how that's pronounced, but
like Bordeaux or I know what you mean.
Yes.
He scored most of the Wes Anderson films.
Who?
And Mark Mothersbaugh.
Oh, I thought you were saying Bear McCreary. Sorry.
And okay, well, I will get back to your subject.
No, you're fine.
Just saying, Mark Mothersbaugh has a style that is just really cool, and I'm really glad that he's scoring Cocaine Bear.
Yeah. How does
Cocaine Bear.
Yes. I just want to look at this list here from Triage, which was a TV movie in 2020 up till today, 2021. He has done, Bear McCreary has scored Foundation, The Walking Dead, God of War Ragnarok, The Serpent Queen, Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, The Sea, which we talked about earlier, Paws of Fury, I don't know what that is. Animated thing. Our Time, Outlander, Masters of the Universe remake, Call of Duty Vanguard, Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy's Edge, Last Call, the game called Murder, whatever that is. Like, that dude, how do you make that much music in that short amount of time and have it all be, like, revered separately? Like, what kind of talent does it take to do that? That's amazing to me.
We are going to get to 10 Cloverfield Lane on FilmSack, and he scored that, and it's a really cool little score.
I just don't know how that guy. I mean, I remember, you know, of course, BSG had this incredible new sound, right? Like, it was so good. Yeah. And I remember thinking, well, that'll be his one-off. That'll be the last we hear of that guy because he'll just, this will sound like this everywhere he goes. Nope. He's some kind of genius, man.
Yeah, he and I actually emailed because I wanted to play that All Along the Watchtower on Coverville. And he responded immediately and said, yeah, go for it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, really, really nice guy via email.
He seems.
I wish more nice. People had connected with Call of Duty Vanguard last year because that there's a bunch of original music by Bear McCreary in that game.
Yeah,
and it's all very good. So good.
Yeah, it's some of the best. It's maybe one of the best soundtracks. I love game soundtracks. That was top notch last year for sure. Anyway, let's move on now to the Twitter post. This is where you guys do your little social media business. Sum it up in 280 characters or less. Oh my gosh, I smell smoke. Or no,
I smell toast.
I taste smell toast. Smoke. Do you taste toast?
You might have fried something there. You could have easily smelled smoke.
I smoked a bunch of salt last week. Maybe that's it. Anyway.
I enjoyed mine.
Good. I'm glad. I didn't oversmoke it. That's the goal. That's the trick with that stuff. It takes like 12 hours. Don't oversmoke it. You'll have good salt at the end.
Thank you.
Anyway, Randy, let's start with you this week.
Europa Report. A bunch of men and two women, and they're all constantly asking, did you see that? And do you feel anything yet? And then there's tentacles, and boom, Saturday night, Ebbets House.
Yeah!
Glad I wasn't the only
this
one.
This one just kind of wrote itself.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Damn
it.
Did.
You know, it's like I was AI text generators. It just wrote the thing. guys should try that one week. Write your thing using that.
Oh, it'd be great, actually.
Just see what it does, because they're smarter than I give that stuff scares the shit out of me. So let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Lean into your fears, Scott. That's what's going on. All right. moving down the row here to Brian Dunaway.
Europa Report. Part of me wishes I could just float out here forever. Oh. I can't see anything. # heavy breathing. # clear my browser history, Randy. And I trailed it off in there.
I like it. Uh-huh. No, it's good. I don't know how you do that in a text post, but I like it. With us finally. What am I trying to say? Was it the top of the show here? Our final Twitter post comes from Brian Ibbett.
Europa Report. Nothing says entertainment to me like a movie with the word report in the title. Right, Dunaway?
Oh, no. It did it again.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Well done. The alternate titles were being prepared and handed to me as you guys were speaking there. And this is what they say. This was almost called Paranormal Activity in Space.
Oh, nice.
Or it was almost called The Matrix, Where the Sentinels Came From. That's what that thing reminded me of.
Ooh, sure.
At the end, it's all
lit up. Totally. Yeah,
little sentinel things. Anyway, now comes the time for your voice to be heard in the email section of the show. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address to use. And we got one from Kem. Oh, he says he pronounced it Gem, but it's C-E-M. How can that be Gem?
Hmm.
Okay. Whatever.
Maybe they misspelled their own name.
Maybe. Because they wrote here Kem and then in parentheses pronounced Gem. So I don't get it.
Well, that's anyway. Outrageous. Uh-huh.
Truly. I think it'd be for you. Know, some C's are pronounced ch in other languages.
That's true. Also, just Dunaway, I saw
stop
what you
messing
did
with Scott Johnson, folks.
Yeah, you mess with me. Hey, FilmSack crew. Good day from the island state called Tasmania in Australia. Okay. Really enjoying listening to you guys while I work away. And yes, I listen to you guys even if I haven't seen the films. I'm weird. I don't think you're that weird. There's a few of you.
No.
I was just sitting and thinking, quote, I might pop on the episode Cowboys and Aliens, and then I couldn't find it. I vaguely remember you guys mentioning it once. Is it on the list? Insert show relevant funny / witty comment here. Kind regards.
It's on the eventual upcoming list, but we haven't sacked it yet.
Yeah, we haven't. We should. We should. That's Harrison Ford. And
we want it.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah. I think, didn't Favreau make it? There's a lot to talk about there. Mm-hmm. I think it was Favreau. Yeah.
Boy, Daniel Craig is having a continuing moment.
He is. Anyone see Glass Onion yet?
No, not yet.
No, I have not.
It's on Netflix now.
It's in that that weird limbo between theaters and streaming, right? It's not in theaters anymore. And
we're all going to see it on streaming in like 2 weeks. So
I thought it was on Netflix now. I guess not.
No.
Okay.
No.
I misunderstood.
Nope. We talked about this on TMS a couple
did,
days
ago. We totally did. We totally did. Is they have an upcoming maybe? Let's see.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it's probably mentioned on upcoming. Yeah.
Speaking of people who are having a moment, tonight, if you're listening to this FilmSack episode on the 10th of December, which is the day we're recording it, and I'm just saying this to my co-host.
I guarantee. Okay. I was going to say they guarantee they won't because they just heard a watch along.
That's correct. Yes. Oh, well. But my co-hosts, I want you to remember tonight. We have Steve Martin and Martin Short hosting Saturday Night.
Oh, yes.
It is so exciting.
The Christmas episode. It's going to be so good.
That is exciting, actually. I might actually watch that. I don't usually care that much.
Tonight.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Amazon, they have a listing on Netflix for December 23rd for Glass Onion. That's the day.
Yep.
Nice. This will go up around the 17th or 18th. So you're looking forward to your Christmas week. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Also, what I'm watching tonight. I think I'm watching Double R or Triple R tonight.
Oh, good. Oh, I can't wait to hear what you think.
I know. I'm so excited. And then tomorrow, I think Carter and I are going to
watch RRR and then watch Saturday Night Live as a palate cleanser.
Oh, yeah. We can do that. I'm supposed to play Overwatch with my nephew tonight, too, but we'll see. Anyway, and then tomorrow, I'm supposed to watch the new Pinocchio, the Del Toro Pinocchio deal.
Oh, yes. Cool.
Which I think hits today. Netflix. I got to make sure. That looks so good. Oh, my gosh. Can't wait to see that. Anyway, apparently it's
musical
really
guest
weird.
Brandi Carlile, by the way.
Who? Ooh. Who the who?
Brandi Carlile.
Oh, I don't know who that. Why who? Do I know who that is? Brandi. Yeah. Carlile.
Yes.
Do I?
Yeah, up and coming singer. I mean, up and coming for the last 10 years. Up and coming.
Last 10 years.
Carlile. I don't know who this is.
Audra loves. That's Brandi Carlile.
Yeah,
she's fantastic.
American singer, songwriter, producer, known for. Nominations could for The Fire Watcher's Daughter, By the Way, I Forgive You, Three of Okay. I still don't think, I'd probably hear it and know.
Yeah, you would know. You've probably heard it most likely.
Okay. I was getting cheesed yesterday for being unfamiliar. I know who Halsey is, but I don't really know her music. Mm. And everyone's like, how do you not know Halsey music? She's amazing. I'm like, okay, it's fine.
Who cheesed you? Oh, on Core or something?
Yeah, I was getting crap on Core.
Oh,
man, Halsey is so perfect for this thing.
She's
this
bad moment. At love, though.
She's bad at love.
See, that's probably a song reference I don't get.
It is. It's a song title. Yeah.
Okay.
Can I talk about something that annoys me?
Yeah. Do it.
When people use song totally titles for songs
totally unrelated to anything, I get so tired of Twitter all the time, but specifically for this reason. Anytime an attractive an attractive female musician artist has a birthday. Everybody feels like they need to post the sexiest picture. Happy birthday to sexy lady this. And it's like, and then there's like 12 pictures of them in sexy poses and stuff. And I'm like, what kind of weird world we live now, in where you wish somebody happy birthday and then post
it does
like,
seem weird.
Their sexiest pics.
I agree. But I also like that you say
doing that on Facebook.
I like that you say birthday.
Feeds.
I like that you say birthday. I do.
Birthday. Yeah. I'm going to go to people's feeds and find their sexiest swimsuit outfits. And I'm going to, whenever that birthday comes up, I'm going to go, happy birthday.
Yeah.
And then post your sexy.
Now, when you write birthday, do you put B-E-R-F-T?
Happy birthday.
Okay. I'm just curious.
I was going to say, welcome to birthday.
I ain't got no time to be pronouncing every syllable. Yeah. In, well, like.
Well, birth and birth are one syllable. So you can go either way on that one. But I like it.
Not say birthday.
I'm not saying change it. I'm not even making fun. No, I like it.
We like
I couldn't even if I wanted to.
Yeah, I like it. I'm not, I don't want it to go away.
It makes me miss the American South every time.
I know. I want to go. Like, I want to go on a shrimp boil with Dunaway when he talks to me. That's all
on.
I want.
We've got a little. Yeah, we've got a little country boy. Come on.
I just watched a video where a good old boy from the South made chicken fried egg.
So breaded the egg.
Cracked the egg into hot oil.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as soon as it's firmed up a little bit. You know, like poached in oil, fried, poached. Yeah. As soon as it firmed up, he pulled it out and then put it in seasoned flour, covered it in seasoned flour, and then put it back in the oil.
Okay.
If I've learned anything by living in the South, it is that you can fry anything.
Yeah.
Anything can be fried.
Yeah. I mean, if you've been to a state fair, you know, you can fry, deep fry anything.
Yeah, that's true. I did that Twinkie 1 year. Oof.
Fried ice cream seems impossible. Did it. Fried Oreos. Genius.
Do it. Yeah, no problem. Wrapped Oreo wrapped in bacon, then fried. I've seen that.
Yeah, done it.
I do, however, think the cooking is the entire explanation for why people on the West Coast like are healthier and live longer.
Probably.
Right.
Probably. Yeah. Because think about it. Like, well, I don't know. It didn't used to be that way, though, because you guys had such bad air quality. But now that's better.
Yeah.
I don't know. California. Blame California. Take California, as the song goes.
I'll take a chicken fried avocado.
All right. That sounds good to me. Here's a couple of texts. The texts, I got to say, I put this number out for all the shows, and easily the Film Sack people are the most texty, man. No, they really go to town on this.
Well, 801. You hear that, you're super texty.
That's right. 801-471-0462 is the number to text your messages to. And here's one from someone who is anonymous. They say, hey, Film Sackers. He's not anonymous at all. This is Frank. And I have a film suggestion for you. RoboJocks. He says it's a futuristic take on global superpowers fighting each other in giant
Real
mechs.
Steel.
Yeah, we watch Real Steel. Says it's definitely a park your brain at the door kind of movie and pretty goofy. It streams on Amazon Prime. Keep up the good sacking. I would love to see RoboJocks. Let's do that.
RoboJocks.
Yeah. This is my dream of where world leader or world powers fight out their differences.
Settle their differences.
Right.
Sure.
This way. Yeah. Instead of killing people. I think that's great. Let's do it.
I like that.
Put it on
Robot
the list.
Wars. Yeah.
Put that on the list. Robot Jocks. It's in there now. Matt in Salt Lake City wrote in. He says, hey, Sackers, go to IMDb and look up the movie Masterminds, starring a young Patrick Stewart with a mustache. It says the movie poster is amazing. It has a guy on a skate rolling or on a skateboard rolling atop his giant bald head. It's hilarious. I haven't actually looked at it.
Is that the Blockbuster? It seems like I've seen this before.
This isn't the right Masterminds.
No. You're looking for the old one.
Yeah. Let me try it again. Masterminds.
What year was it again?
1997.
Yeah.
97. Okay, that's right.
Oh yeah. What the frick? That's weird.
Oh, it's on Tubi. Watch for free.
Who else is in this? Nobody I know.
I've seen this cover art before, but I swear I would never have guessed that was a Jean-Luc Picard. I would have never guessed that.
Well, it looks like him on that cover.
Oh yeah, I mean when you're going in knowing, sure it looks like him.
It looks like his face, and he's got his name there. I think that probably gave it away for a lot of people.
Well, yeah.
Between those two things,
it just feels like you might.
But that's if you're
him.
Stopping. That. See, you got to remember, this is like a cover box with like sitting on a shelf with like 100 other movies, And when you're walking by a Blockbuster and you see this, you're not going to be like reading names.
Yeah, it's true, I guess. I don't know. 97, Picard is pretty big then.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like prime TNG, post-TNG era for him. But in fact, the very next year, they would make Star Trek First Contact, I guess. Right? Yeah.
Right.
I think they'd already done Generations. Anyway.
The moons of Jupiter.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you for that text. 801-471-0-GOB. That's 801-471-0462. Send those in, and we would love to read them on the show. I would like to thank our patrons. We have amazing patrons, and they just keep stacking up. That makes us very happy. You get a lot of bonus content for doing that. Brian just put up his time travel, not theory, but his belief in how good time travel should work.
How it could work. Yeah.
And it's very good. If you haven't heard it, go check it out.
How bad it'd be for movies if it did.
That's right. Plus, you get all the archives of us doing that stuff as well. Bonus content every week, all that kind of stuff. So do check it out. That is patreon.com/filmsack.
Scott, before we go, I want to do the longest callback that is possible on Filmsack.
Do it.
I want to ask you guys the question.
Kroll.
How many Three Ninjas movies do you think there were?
Oh, geez.
You can't ask me because four. I looked them up when I did my intro. Oh.
Yeah, I remember three, and I think there was a fourth. They didn't all have the same characters, though.
I don't remember anything but the first, so you got me.
I am so sad to say it's not three. You should make three.
Yeah, it should be a trilogy. Movies.
Sure. Yeah. Are there two or four? No, it's four. Yeah. Okay.
You're correct, Brian Dunaway. You win.
Congratulations.
You win a crappy movie award.
Three Ninjas back in training and Ninjas four. This time it's Ninjable.
Yeah, and this
the
time
fourth
they're
one
serious.
Is actually called High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Oh, my Lord.
That's right. Yeah.
Please.
Straight to video. I'm pretty sure on that one.
T-shirt.
Please make it. Can we make a law that says we'll never watch a Three Ninjas movie?
No, we gotta watch it.
Well, nope, I'm writing it in our spreatsheet.
I guess like we need to at least see the first one.
Fine, I'll do my Hulk very Hogan special night. Episode on Three Ninjas.
Yeah. Wait, did you say there was a Hulk Hogan?
One of them has Hulk Hogan in it.
Really?
I think he trains the ninjas, the Three Ninjas.
You just changed Scott's mind in a minute.
Right, I know. It's amazing.
It just sounds so much stupider now, so I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, before we get out of here, quick note. Next week, we are watching the X-Files Christmas episode. What's it called? What season is it? I didn't write it down.
Christmas Mulder. I don't know what's it called.
I believe in Christmas.
Christmas Carol episode. It's called Christmas Carol.
Oh, there better be a lady named Carol in it. That's all I got to say.
Hi, I'm Carol.
This will be a watch along next week. We're interspersing these this month because of some travel that some people are making. And because of that, we want to make sure you got content every weekend. That's how we're doing it. So that's next week. And the week after that, The Mist. That's right. The Frank Darabont underappreciated, amazing masterpiece by Frank Darabont based on Stephen King's book, The Mist. It's amazing. It's great. It's good. You need to watch it. There's nothing
and
wrong with this.
Don't
movie.
Wait. Go watch it now. Even though it's not our next episode, go watch it now.
I'm guaranteeing that The Mist will not be on streaming in January. You have 3 weeks, folks. You have 3 weeks to watch The Mist.
Three weeks.
The Mist,
yep. Please. Do it.
Wait, don't start 2023 off wrong. On the 17th. You have 2 weeks to watch The Mist.
Marsha Gay Harden's in this thing. Freaking these amazing actors. Who's the guy that played the other Capote? Not the one that won everything, but the other little guy that's also in the MCU. MCU guy.
Right. Toby Jones.
Toby Jones. He's in it. He's really good.
Yeah.
Everyone's favorite.
Andre Brower.
Thank you.
Sadler's in this movie.
Yeah. The entire cast of just about of The Walking Dead.
Rick.
Yeah. It all started before that, of course, but it's so good. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to watch this movie and argue with Dunaway about why it's so great. And he thinks it's not.
We're going to find out together. Yeah. And you listeners are going to find out if you watch The Mist before the end of December, please go watch.
Yeah. Hurry up. Don't wait. Okay.
Don't wait.
Filmsack.com is our website. You can find everything there. Like we mentioned, patreon.com/filmsacks, where you can support us. Filmsack@gmail.com. And leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It always helps us gain popularity. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Andy.
Tentacles.
See you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm moving to the...
Oh, cut off.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.